Daf Chav Zayin, we're on the bottom of Chavov and Beis. The Mishnah had said in the last chelik in the Mishnah, read the end of the Mishnah again. Halokeach peres mechaver, or shashiach loy chaver peres. So you buy some fruits, he sends you a box of fruits, or you get a present of fruits. Umotz ben moy, so you find some money inside the box. So the Mishnah said, arelu shaloi, you could keep it, because it's mashma that there's no simon on it, therefore you can assume you're never going to find it who it is. You can keep it, the arnuz miyayish. And while you tzruin, if they were wrapped up in a bundle, so there's a simon on the either on the wallet or a simon in the amount of money, etc. Then the Mishnah said, noitel umachriz, then you have to announce and say you found some money, and someone has to come and give you the proper simon. It says the Gemara on the bottom, Amar Yishlakas Mishir Mbiyanei, that there's a qualification. Lo yishanu el b'lekech menatagor. This whole halacha of the Mishnah, it depends if you have a simon, if you don't have a simon, etc., is when you buy from someone who's a wholesaler. And therefore, he bought from a whole bunch of different people. And therefore, it's impossible to track down where this, how this money got into the box right now. So you have to determine if the money has a simon, imachos. If it doesn't have a simon, you're not. If someone is selling fruit that they picked out of their backyard and they deliver the case of fruit to your house and you find money in it, then it's not even a question of being machris or not being machris, with a simon, without a simon. How'd the money get there? It's the owner's money. Obviously, he was picking the fruits and his wallet fell into the box, and that's how it got delivered to you. So it's not a question of needing a simon, not needing a simon. There's no other way this money could have come from anywhere except from the balabais, and you have to return it. But if he's a wholesaler, then already it could have come from anywhere. Then already, if it has a simon, fine. If not, no. The Chaim Toni Tana Kamedu of Nachman. We had a Tana. It was someone who was saying over a Breiser in front of Rav Nachman, and he said this exact same statement. That's only when you buy it from someone who's a wholesaler, so the money could have gotten into the box from anywhere along the way. Somebody of Nachman, so Rav Nachman asked a question on this Breiser that was quoted to him. So he said, even if it's the owner who's selling it out of his backyard, the chayr, he has workers there. It wasn't he himself who picked the fruits or did all the work on the fruits. He had workers. And if he had workers, you're back to the same issue. What's the difference if it's many people along the line of the wholesale route, or if it's just different workers who are working in the field? One picked the fruits, one put them in the box. It could be from anywhere. And therefore, you're back to the same point. Even if you buy from Baal Bayis, it could be from anybody, and therefore it should depend if it has a simon, like it said in the Mishnah. So the Tana, the person who said over this price, said to Rav Nachman, I just delete this price from my list of prices that I normally quote. Therefore, we don't know pshat, we don't know pshat. So maybe it's taka wrong price. So no, you don't have to delete it. Tatarge Masnisa, you can explain pshat in the price, and therefore back in our Mishnah as well. If he has regular workers that he just hired for the day, then you'd have a problem because you don't know who left the money in the box. It could be the workers, it could be the Baal Bayis, it could be the delivery guy, it could be anybody, and then it would be the same halacha as a wholesaler. Here we're talking about where it's a Baal Bayis with Avadim Kenanim. And if it's Avadim Kenanim, then all those things belong to him anyways. And therefore, then you could be sure that the money in the box came from either the Baal Bayis or his Avadim Kenanim, which is the same as being his, and then you would have to return it to the Baal Bayis. So we're just qualifying the Mishnah that would have said, if it depends on it has a simon or not, if you know for sure in this situation that it came from the Baal Bayis or one of his Avadim Kenanim, then of course you return it to him without having to worry about a simon or anything like that at all. Says the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going back on the pasuk we've been quoting, the pasuk that talks about our Shabbos Aveli. The pasuk says, when you return a Hashef Teshivim, as we said, and we read the full pasuk, V'chentasel chamari, same thing you should do when you have to return is chamor, chentasel simlasoi, a beged, chentasel cholove, the sechicha shetovi, menu matzasa, lo yisucha lihisalem. That's the second pasuk we're quoting. Starts the Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to go back and give the details on the previous pasukim. The Mishnah says, afa simlo haisa b'chlal kolelu. The similar was any other lost object would be included. We'll see exactly what Pasuk the Mishnah is referring to when we get into the Gemara. Lama Yatzos, why does the Torah specify in the first example a similar? Lahakishala, to tell you a hekish on this halacha. Lamilcha, ma simla miyuchedes, what is unique or special about a simla that it chose as an example? Sheesh ba simanim, as we'll see in the Gemara over the next few days, what is the type of a simon that we're talking about? But a simla beged, lachar, it's not a beged that you buy in the store, right? A beged you buy in the store, lavdafka, is that a simon? Because everybody could have bought the same Nike t-shirt, right? So it doesn't mean you didn't need anything. But it's something that you made at home, some homemade beged, which is unique to you, so that, of course, that has a siman. And v'yesh la toivin, as Rashi says, A, it's not hefker, and B, you mustam, you are not miyayish on it, right? It's not something that you're miyayish on. Then af kol davar she'esh bo simanim, anything which has a siman, and v'yesh la toivin, and you are not yet miyayish, so it's not yet hefker, those are the types of things that chayv la'achmir. So one of the types of things that there is a mitzvah of Hashem HaSaveda, A, if it has really, as we'll see in the Gemara, the real point of this mission is yesh la toivin, ein la toivin. Is it before yesh or is it after yesh? If it's after yesh, you don't have to return it. If it's before yesh, you do have to return it. But of course, the Mishnah also throws in this point about simanim, that you have to return something with simanim, which Chachai we said, because if it doesn't have simanim, then the owner's going to be miyash. We'll see in the Nekud of simanim when we get into the Gemara. It says the Gemara right away, my bechlal kol elu. What is the Mishnah? The Mishnah like jumps in the middle of the story. It says, similar as bechlal kol elu. What elu? What are we talking about? So Amarava, Bichlal, it's going back on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, L'chol avedes achicha shetov imenu matzasa. So once it says, L'chol avedes achicha shetov imenu matzasa, that means everything. Anything your friend loses that you find, you have a mitzvah not to be misalim from it, a lav not to be misalim, and you have a mitzvah of hashiv teshivim. So what is the, why is the Torah then go specify all these examples? So lomeli dekos rachmano, why is the Torah write the examples? Now we started from the second pasuk, which is perichov beis pasuk gimel. If we go to perichov beis pasuk aleph, the pasuk says lo yisir eshor oichicha oy esse oy nidochim. You know, if you see a shor or a se, a cow or an ox or a sheep walking, this and it's missing, and you ignore it, hashif teshim lachichi, he's supposed to return it. So we already see the Torah specifies as examples a shor and a set. Then we skip to pasuk gimel, and the Torah specifies v'chein tassel l'chamar. So now we have a shor, a set, and a chamor. V'chein tassel l'simlasa, you should also do it to his begim. And then it says v'chein tassel l'cholos aveis achicha. So once it says v'chein tassel l'chol aveis achicha, why does the Torah have to specify these four examples: a shor, a set, a chamor, and a simla? So that's what this, that's what the mission is going on. So it says the Gemara, lomeli dekos rachman, a shor, chamor, set, v'simla. So matzricha, you need each one of these teaches you a halacha in Dini Hashem HaSaveda. Dikas Rachmana similar, if it just had similar, habimina, hanimili be'edim degufa v'simonim degufa. There is nothing secondary when it comes to a beged. It's the beged itself. So if you want to prove that it's yours, you have to bring edim on the beged. If you want to prove that it's yours, you have to put a simin about the beged itself. That's what, as we'll see from the Gemara in Bamshech, but Dresha Chicha Imach, he has to be Dershit, and he has to bring either edim or a simin to prove it's his. But by a similar, there's only the beged itself. There's nothing secondary. Of a chamor, but when someone loses a chamor, so by the chamor, there's not just the animal that's lost. It also has a saddle on it, and maybe has bags on it. So the secondary items that are attached to the chamor. Of a chamor, be'edim de'ukif, v'simanim de'ukif, eimalayim adrenalei. What if someone could come and say, I lost my chamor. Okay, what does the chamor look like? Well, a chamor looks like a chamor. I can't really describe the chamor, but the saddlebag on it looked like this. Okay, and it has a certain strap on it, or a certain color, it had my name on the saddle strap. Is that enough to allow you to return it? So by a beged, you're giving a simon on the beged itself. By a chamor, you might be giving a simon or edim on something secondary. How do you know that's good enough? Ema, you would say, not my dream, ema loy, my dream alay. Shakas rachmana chamor da filu. Chamor b'simani ukuf. You can return the chamor, not just with simanim of the chamor, but the simanim of the saddle, or the bag, or any of those things. Good, so now we know why it says similar, now we know why it says chamor. Shor v'seh dekos rachman alamli. So what does it say in the first part? It says shor v'seh. What are those for? Shor, da'afilu legizas novi. We're going to say in the drush in a few minutes that if something is not worth a shavah pruta, you don't have to return it. So now here by a shor, obviously the shor is worth a shavah pruta. But the little hairs that fall off the tail themselves are not worth the shavah pruta. But because they're secondary to the shor, just like you have to return the shor, you have to return these little secondary things, even though they themselves are not worth the shavah pruta. That's why Rashi explains it as a slightly different shot, but that's the point. These are secondary things to the shor. Just like you return the shor, you have to return these little hairs, whatever it is, that fall off the shor as well. V'seh l'gizaysav, and a seh, you have to return if you shear the sheep, which you have to do, Taisa says, that you have to make sure the set stays healthy. So you shear it when it needs to be sheared. If you haven't yet been able to return the set to somebody, so when you return finally the set to the original owner, you give back the sheep and you give back the wool. Says the Gemara, of course. You just told me that the word shar doesn't have wool. For sure, it's just little hairs off the tail. If you have to return the little hairs off the tail, then for sure you have to return the wool off the sheep. That's much more expensive. That's much more something that has value to the owner. So why does it have to say seh if it already said shor? And shor is just being married with these little hairs. So of course, by a seh, you have to return the wool. Elam Rava. So Rava said this is a famous statement we have in Shas, and we have this in Baba Kama. Chamor debarler bihuda v'seh davela debiakol kasha. There are two drushas in the Torah, two words in the Torah that we don't know how to darsh. The second one is our pasuk over here. Why does it say set? There's no drusha that we are familiar with in Shas from this word set that something we need. Yeah, we said selig is his isa, but we know it already. Okay, Taisa says, why don't you say milsa disim kavachemer tarach v'kosav lakra? Taisa debates that point. But lamaisa, it's something we don't have an extra drusha from. What was the other one? The other one was when it says, when it falls into a bar, we said it says over there chamor. Now we darshan over there chamor v'loy kelim. That when an animal falls into a bar and gets hurt in baba kama, you have to pay. But if kelim fall in or break, you don't have to pay. Yehuda said you do have to pay on kelim. So according to Yehuda, says you do have to pay on kelim. What is the word chamor teaching me? We don't know. We don't know. We're stuck with that. We vibe with the kasha. We're not sure. So Elam Rabba chamor debar the Rabbi Yehuda and said that veidu leviakol kasha. But we're not sure what that's teaching. Maybe I can tell you something. If you want something that's worth less than the hairs of the shor that you would have to return, maybe it's referring to the dung of the animal. When the animal, you save the dung of the animal normally for fertilizer. So maybe when you return the seh, you have to return all the fertilizer that comes along with it. No, nobody wants a bag of glalim to be returned when they return their seh. That's for sure. Everybody's mafgir. And that would be impossible if that's what the pasuk's teaching me. We're going to discuss right away, and I'm at Beis here today, is the halacha of simanim, that normally, everything in the Torah, we know al pishnayim edim yakum dover. If you want to collect money from somebody, you need edim. Maybe you need a shtar that shows the edim on it. If you want to be tovea someone as a mazik, you have to bring edim. All of a sudden, comes over here by a Shabbat Sefer and says, you don't need edim. You can use a simon. As long as you can say with a simon that this kli, this beged was yours, that's enough to get you returned to you. Why? Why is simanim good enough? So the Gemara is going to debate in a few minutes, is that din of simanim a din d'araisa, based on some sort of pasuk, or is it a din d'rabbanim? That's the Gemara is going to question. So says the Gemara, our Gemara here, so maybe that's what this extra word is says teaching me. This says teaching me, even if you don't have edim on the set, even if you just have simanim, that's good enough. And maybe that's what the drasha is teaching me. The extra word says, teach me simanim. Some of edim is simanim u'diyasa. The bainim, we're going to ask the shayla in a few minutes. Simanim d'araisa oy d'rabbanim. So maybe that's exactly the point. The word says, teach me that you don't need to have edim on the seh, that just a simen, the color, the stripes, whatever it is, the speckles on the seh is good enough. V'simanim de'araisa. And that would be a riot outside of our shayla that we'll discuss if simanim is de'araisa or not. So maybe that's what the word says, teaching me. Some of that can't be. Amri midiktoni lutana l'simanim gabay simla. Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Af simla yisur bechal kol edav leimiyatz lakashachol." Loimer masim lemiuchel sheish bas simanim yesh la toivim. Now it seems to me from our Mishnah itself that we're clearly darshining the word "simla" to teach me that simanim are daraisa. The Gemara is going to debate that point in a few minutes. But whether that drusha is a real drusha, whether that drusha is just their chagav, it's an asmachta of some sort. The Mishnah, if it's entertaining the idea of simanim being daraisa, it's entertaining it from the pasuk of simla. From the word of simla, not from the word of seh. Why? I don't know, says the Gemara. But clearly, if that is the case, the Gemara's word that we're focusing in the Mishnah in terms of simanim is the word simla, not the word seh. Midiktani lutana l'simanim gabay simla diktani. Masim yuchesh pray simanim v'yesha tayv v'chayv l'achas of kavdo yeshe p'rishimam. Simanim. V'yesha tayv v'chayv l'achas shvamina deseh lavli simanim v'diyasa. We don't know why the Tana did this necessarily, but clearly the Tana is not even thinking about using the word seh to teach me simanim, and therefore back to our kasha, what is the word seh teaching me? And the Gemara says this is one of those words, we don't know what the drusha is in Shas. Tanarabana, other drushas from this pasuk. Pasuk said, Asher toivat mimenu umatzasa lesucha lasali. So Tanarabana, Asher toivat prat laved shema shevapruta. It has to be something that you lost that was worth a Shavapruta when you lost it. And therefore, if it was not, then there's no din of a Shavasaveda at all on such a thing. The person who finds it can keep it. Yehuda, remember, Yehuda's had a slightly different drasha. It says, We're focusing not on the person who lost it being Meshava Pruta, but on the person who found it, that he found something worth Meshava Pruta. Prat Laved Hashem Meshava Pruta. Says Mamai Benayu. So they both seem to be saying there's no din of Hashem Saveda on something worth less than Meshava Pruta. Is there a difference between the Tanakamish Drasha and Mehudas Drasha? So Rabbi says no. I'm Rabbi Mashmah Stosh and Nikabay Nayu. It's just a question of which part of the Pasuk you want to focus your Drasha on, but there is no halachic nafkamina. My nafkamina Meshet Taivat or my nafkamina Mutsos. Says the Gemara, okay, let's assume there's no nafkamina, but what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? The pasuk says both. Hashet tovad mimenu umatzasa. Pasuk clearly focuses on both the person who lost the object of albayas and the person who found it. So what does each one do with the other one's drasha? Man the nafkamina shet tovad hayu matzasa ma'evli. What does he do with the fact that Torah stresses that and you find that the finder also is matzasa, found something of value? When we buy the Kedir of Yaneh, or Rav Noi, Damar Rav Noi, Umatzasa, the Asul Yadei Mashva. We had this Gemara in Baba Kama, that you don't have to return the chefetz that was owned by a goy. If you know for sure it was owned by a goy, there's no din of a Sheva Saveda. And the Gemara have a meet over there in Baba Kama. Maybe that means you don't have to pick it up. But once you pick it up, you do have to return it to the goy. So we learn from this Pasuk Umatzasa that even if you picked it up, still it's only Avedas Achicha you have to return, and not Avedas Vagoy. So that might be one drasha you learn from this Pasuk of Matzasa. If you learn from Matzasa that it has to be worth a Sheva Pruta, what do you do from the Pasuk of Hashat Tovim Menu? In the Gemara we had from Yechon many times already, if an Aveda was washed down the river, we darshin, only if it's only lost from the owner, but it's available to be found or grabbed by somebody else. Yotzazu, this thing which is flying down the river, floating the river, it's not available to the owner, and it's not available to anybody else. Then we said it's totally hefker, well, the owner's automatically miyayish on it, and therefore there's no din. So that's what he would do with the pasuk of avud. What does the other one do? Hadra ravnoi menale. How does he know the halacha that by a goy you don't have to return it if you pick it up? Nafkale mi vimatzasa, the extra vav. V'idach hadra b'yechem minolei, nafkale mi menu, from the extra mi menu. V'idach mi menolei mashvali. Okay, so they go back and forth, but l'mais, according to Abaya, there is no halachic nafkamina whatsoever. Everybody agrees. You don't have to return a chefetz to go even if you pick it up. Everybody agrees if the object is totally lost, floating down the river, or burned, or whatever it is, there's no din of on the way to be burned, there's no din of a sheva saveda. And everybody agrees if it's not worth a sheva pruta, you don't have to return it. So according to Abaya, there's absolutely no halachic nafkamina between these two drushes. Rava said, no, maybe there is. Rav Amar Pruta Shehuzla Ike Benayu. There could be a nafkamina. The nafkamina is, what if when you lost it, it was worth a Sheva Pruta, but when the person found it, it already had gone down in value, and now it's not worth a Sheva Pruta. So what do you focus on? Do you focus on the time of the loss of the object, or do you focus on the time of the finding of the object? Man Yemer Shetayvad Ika. At the time when you lost it, it was worth a Sheva Pruta. Man Yemer V'mimatzasa, it was not worth a Sheva Pruta. So do you focus on the time when you lost it or not? Some of them are leka. Says the Gemara, it's not really true though. The pasuk does say both. It's not like the pasuk says one. The pasuk says asher toivad mimenu umatzasa. So if you're going to dash in this way, it seems very clear from the pasuk that it really needs to be worth the sheva pruta both at the time it was lost and the time it was found. So how can you have a machlokes about this? It doesn't seem to make sense that there will be a halachic nafkamina.
How do you know the value when it was lost? Was it yesterday or 2 weeks ago?
But the owner does. The owner does. The owner comes and says, give it back to me. He says, I don't have to give it back to you. It's not worth a Sheva Pruta. So, but it was worth a Sheva Pruta. I'll prove to you. Look at the, whatever, it was worth a Sheva Pruta. If he could claim it, he could claim it. We're talking about something that has a simen. It has a simen. You know whose it was. It doesn't matter. It's not a Sheva Pruta. You don't have to return it. Maybe the opposite. What if he lost it, it was not worth a Sheva Pruta, and then it went up in value? Man diyama umatzasa ika, because the time of the finding it was. Man diyama shetavi menu leka. So it's still not true. That drush is not going to make any difference. Whether it was worth a Sheva Pruta at the beginning or whether it was worth a Sheva Pruta at the end, everybody agrees you need both Matzatayvad and Matzasa. So is there a halachic nafkamina or not? Some other risk. Ella, you know what the nafkamina is? Ella Pruta, the Bach changed it to Shehuzla v'chazer v'hukra ika b'nayu. What if it was worth a Sheva Pruta at the time you lost it? Somewhere in the middle, you know, gold changed value and it went down less than a Sheva Pruta. And by the time you found it, it went back to a Sheva Pruta. Oh, so now, like this. Mandi Amar Shetoyva Ika. At the time of the loss, was it worth the Sheva Pruta? Yes. At the time when you found it, was it worth the Sheva Pruta? Yes. Mandi Amar Tzasa, Ve'inan D'ispe Shir Mitzia, Mishas HaVeidat Shas Mitzia. We're dashing a new way of dashing. The Mandi Amar Umar Tzasa says, not just enough at the time that you lost it and the time that you found it, but the entire way through, from when you lost it until when you found it, it has to be worth the Sheva Pruta. If at any point in time it becomes worth less than the Sheva Pruta, then you would not necessarily have to return that chefetz, according to the Mandiyamu Darshins and Matzah. Again, this is Rava's explanation of this two shitas. According to Baya, there is no halacha in Afkamina. In both cases, it would be the same halacha. Okay, now we get to our question of Simonim. Ibailu. Simonim daraisa or drabonim? Do we rely on Simonim on a daraisa level based on a pasuk? Or is it only a din d'rabbanan? And the reason you would not rely on simanim is one of two things, right? Simanim, first of all, you could guess, right? You could guess. I could guess that it was red. I could guess that it was striped. I can guess that it was, you know, had a strap on it. You can guess a simon. Also, it's very possible that two things have the same simon. Not necessarily is that the best raya of anything. If it has your name in it, as we'll see, there's something called a simon muvuk. Something that's a simon muvuk, if your name is written in the front of the book, then there's no debate. Everybody agrees in that case, simonim is deraisa, you can return the chefetz based on that type of simon. We're talking about a simon which is not a simon muvuk, simon which is not so clear. Maybe two things have the same type of color on it. Maybe you saw it and you lied and you made it up and you guessed. You don't know. So can you rely on this deraisa to our bottom? So my nafkamina. What would be our halakha nafkamina? Lamaisa by Sheva Savei, we know you return with simonim. That's the whole masechta. So what would nafkamina? La dure get isha be simonim. Can you use a simon when it comes to hilfas yordea? Not just Hilchus Chayshin Mishpat. If a shliach is walking, loses the get on the way, and then someone finds it, and the shliach wants to get it with simanim, and then take that isha get and go mimagarish an isha, so if you hold simanim to rabbanon, you can't. Who says it's the same get? Maybe it's somebody else's get with the same name, blah, 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 and it's not lishman, it's pasul. So how do you know? Can you rely on it or not? Yamina deraisa madrina. If it's a din deraisa, then you can use it always. Yamina rabbanon, you have rabbanon takanta mamonin. The whole takanat rabbanon is by mamon. Even if you want to say they could, because we say that called makadash, adait rabbanon makadash, but not necessarily would they even have a reason to do this by a gedisha, just write another one. Right? Why bother? So says the Gemara, so tashma. Let's look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah clearly said, "Afasim lahaisa bechlau kolelu v'lama yatsas." The Mishnah said, "La'akasher v'leiv l'cham masim lamiuchelas yesha simanim v'yesha toivim chayv lachris." Af kol davar sheish bas simanim v'yesha toivim chayv lachris. You see, the Mishnah, when talking about the drasha for the pasuk of Simon, says simanim. Seems to be our Mishnah's understanding that simanim is learned from the pasuk of Simla, and that's the worst pasuk daraisa. Tamano, tana toivim itzichle. It could be the real focus of our Mishnah is on the question of Toivim. Is the person Miyayish or is he not Miyayish? Is there a Din Yish here or not? Simanim Kedin Asba. He just threw in Simanim because we know the truth is you can return it with Simanim, yes or no. But Lav Dafka is the Mishnah focusing on is that a Din Daraisa or Drabbanan. It could be we're just thrown in there even though it's only a Din Drabbanan. So we have no Raya from our Mishnah. Tashma. Chamar b'simani ukif. It says you can return a chamar, which we dash from the words chamar, with the simanim of the ukif. So you see, we're dashing from the word chamar, simanim. Samara, ema be'ede ukif. Lav dafka, maybe that Bryson was not accurate. The focus was that it's the ukif, the saddle that you're talking about. But lav dafka, we're focusing on the simanim of it, as opposed to edim on it. Okay. Tashma, it says, v'hoya imcha adresha chicha isa. You have to hold on to the chefetz until your friend is doresh the chefetz, or your dereshim, as we'll see. V'chisal atayit chishetanu kohem shishetanu. What does the pasuk mean? Wait for him to be deresh it, as opposed to what? Giving it back to him before he's deresh it? You don't know who it is. It's a lost object. It's the whole nature of it. So what does the pasuk mean? Elo dershehu. Not that he's deresh you. You're deresh him. Your derishim imrama huayna rama. You have to figure out, is he telling you the truth when he comes and claims it's lost or not? How do you do that? My love, b'simanim. You test him. Does he know the simon? Does he know what it looked like? Maybe oh, there means be'edim. In other words, as the Mefreshim explained, the truth is when someone comes and says that this object is his, as we discussed earlier at the beginning of the parak, theoretically you could apply the rules over here of bari v'shema. I don't know whose it is. He claims it's his. Bari v'shema, bari yad. If I give it back to him, shalom Yisrael. Torah says no. Torah says you can't rely on Bar Vashem over here. So now the question is, what do you rely on? Is it enough to rely on Simanim, or you need Edim? But there would be a Chiddush to needing Edim over here, as opposed to just saying, well, he claims it's his, so give it to him. Kamash on the Pasuk, maybe Edim. But Lav Dafka, do we see yet? Simanim. Toshma. Now we switch gears. Now let's switch gears to out of Hilchas Cheshen Mishpat, and then we can bring a riot to our question. The Gemara says, "Ein me'idin al parts of parim ella al parts of haparim machaitim." If someone, an isha, his husband, went to Medina Sayyam, and he died, nebachin chutz la'aretz, but we don't have edim. Or we have edim, but we don't necessarily know positive identification that this is her husband. How do you identify a body? So says the bright mission over there, you identify the body only if you could see the face and the nose. Other physical characteristics you cannot rely on. Even though if you have other simanim on his arms, his legs, I don't know, whatever it is, you cannot rely on those, or any of his clothes that he was wearing also you cannot rely on. Now, that already is not a din in Cheshen Mishpat. That's a din in Eben Ezra, Yerdea. So says the Gemara, Shmamina, Simanim Alav Deraisa. If you see, we're not relying on Simanim to identify a dead body, that must be we hold Simanim Alav Deraisa, and it's a special din Durabanan by Dina Shavas Aveda. So Malav Dafka. I'm really a proper Simon, maybe you could rely on. Amri Gufay De'orch V'gutz. The only Simon we're talking about over here that's not good is if they say he was tall or short, which is not a good Simon. Everybody's tall or short. Somebody. That's not to say, oh, we found the body at 6'1", that doesn't mean anything. There could be millions and millions of people who are that height. It means nothing. And Caleb de Chashin Lashela, and the fact that he's wearing different begodim, oh, he was wearing, you know, a blue pants with a red shirt, big deal. And I know my husband had blue pants and a red shirt, no big deal. He could be somebody else borrowed the clothing from him. Someone else was short and borrowed it. And therefore, Caleb or height is not a simit at all. Maybe if it had a proper simit, you could rely on them. We're not sure. Says, wait a second. If you're telling me that when you have a simit on a begodim, that's not necessarily a simit of anything because maybe the person borrowed someone's shirt. So chamar b'simin yokav heimachem adrinan. So the same problem by chamar. You said you can give a simin or an edim on the saddle. Maybe someone borrowed the saddle and the chamar belongs to somebody else. Coming up. Amri ukav l'shayli inshi. You don't borrow saddles, right? It hurts. It scratches the back of the animal. I mean, each saddle is built and shaped perfectly for the shape of the animal. If you borrow somebody else, it's going to scratch it. Therefore, you don't lend them out. And therefore, clearly, that would be a connective simim between the saddle and the owner of the chamor. Or, when we talk about Caleb, we're talking about not a proper simon on the Caleb. Caleb b'chir v'sumki, if you just say a red shirt, big deal red shirt. There's a million red shirts, right? It's a white shirt, big deal. It's a million white shirts. It's not a simon at all if we're talking about that. It says, Mar Elohad de Sanya, Matsu kosher b'kis. We said if you lost a get, and then you found the get later, and it was wrapped up in a wallet of some sort, a barnaki, or a tabas, or it had a ring on it. If the shliach found it, even if it took a long time, for he lost it for 6 months, and then he found it, but it's wrapped up in a certain way, in the certain kalim, which are his, you can assume it was the get that he originally was supposed to bring, and he could take the get now and give it to the isha. If you said this whole idea that you're worried that people borrow kalim, kimatsu kosher b'kis, am I kosher? Nechis l'sheila, who knows, maybe it was somebody else's, maybe this belonged to somebody else, and someone else borrowed it, and it's a different person's get. Same point over here. People don't borrow each other's wallets. People don't borrow each other's signet ring. Why? It's not a good simon to give out someone else's, to lend out your wallet. Right? Oh, Reb said you don't give out your wallet to somebody else. It's not a good simon, and therefore you don't do that. And a tabas mishum azuyev, right? A tabas which you use to sign all your documents with a signet ring, that for sure you're not giving out to anybody. Nechon achashveosh and haman, you don't give that out. That's not a good idea. And therefore, clearly, if you find it with a ring of some sort, we can assume it belonged to the original owner. But in terms of our shaila simanim daraisa or not, does it apply by non cheshen mishpat? Still not sure. Lemeketanoi. Ein ma'idin al hashuma. Can you testify about a dead person to identify the body based on a certain wart or scar or something that they had? So Tanakhama says you cannot. The Lazar ben Mahavoy Omer ma'idin al hashuma. No, a wart or a scar is a proper identifying mark to say that this person is Pliny, who is married to a Plinus, and therefore you can be matahir from an agun. What's the machlekes? My love, God, come to get. Tanakama suffers simanim derabbanan, and therefore you cannot rely on such a wart. Velazman b'vayis suffers simanim derais, and therefore even for dina evanez you can rely on it. Samarav alav dafka. The kuliyam simanam deraisa. Maybe everybody holds a proper simin you could rely on. The question is a shuma, a wart like this, a proper simin? Do we say that everybody born under a certain mazel at a certain time might have this same type of wart or beauty mark or whatever it is, and therefore it's not necessarily a uniquely identifying mark? It could be lots of people who have the same birthday, gilu, who have the same type of beauty mark. And if it is, I'm properly identifying. So maybe if it was, you could rely on it. But who says this is uniquely identifying? Or it is taka a proper simon if we can know for sure that it was accurate. The question is, do these types of warts or beauty marks or blotches change color after the death of the person? Maybe if they were black, they turn white. If they're white, they turn black, and therefore it's not a simon at all. They change color, so you can't use them at all. So that could be the machlekes. Or it does not change. But simanim adrabanan. So what's the issue? So if it's only drabanan, what's the side that you could rely on it? Is a shuma, this type of wart, a blotch, is that considered better than a regular simon? Is that considered what we call the simon muvuk? And a simon muvuk, everybody agrees you can rely on it for all dina deraisa. Marsav shuma is a simon muvuku, the marsav shuma loves simon muvuku. So we can explain this machlokes about the shuma either on the side of simon deraisa or on the side of simon derabanan. But in terms of a regular simon, is that considered deraisa derabanan? That we're still not sure. Amarava, im tim salemi simanim lav daraisa. If you're going to tell me that simanim are not daraisa, so heichim adrina vedasim simanim. Why would Chazal have made such a takana? We don't see anywhere else Chazal say that. Oh well, you know, Reuven owes Shimon money, so instead of bringing edim, we'll bring simanim. We don't do such a thing. Only by Hashem Aseved do we seem to do such a thing. Why? Why would Chazal have made such a takana? Assuming it's drabanan, which we're going to come out tomorrow, it's not. But assuming it is, why would you have made such a takana? Says the Mar, I'll tell you why. The nichle la mitzvah aved and the nahad b'simanim. Right? What's the choice here? The mitzvah aved finds the object. He wants to be able to keep it. He said, "Well, there's no edim, so I can keep it." No, Chazal said, "Return it with simanim." Why? He prefers that it be taken away from him by simanim, and he gives it to whoever claims it. So when he loses something, he can also claim it with simanim. So it's a tit for tat. I'll give you yours if when I lose something, you give me mine. It's an interesting svar, but it's krum. So what are you saying? I found an object. I don't know who it belongs to. Could be it belongs to anybody in the world. Reuven comes and claims it says b'simanim. Midaraisa, I have no reason to assume it belongs to Reuven. I'm allowed to give it to Reuven, and I'm happy to give it to Reuven, because later when I lose something, I can get my other thing back. So I'm making Shimon lose his object, because maybe this object I found really belongs to Shimon. But I'm allowed to give it to Reuven Simanim so that I can gain next time. That doesn't make any sense. What right do I have to steal Shimon's object and give it to Reuven just so I can gain next time? It can't be as far as on that side. Rather, says the Gemara, Ella, Nichle la Balaveda Lemahave Simon. It's not that the person who finds it is happy to give it away, it's the person that lost it is happy that it should be able to be claimed as simanim. Well, the mishkale, why? Because maybe the person who lost it knows. The Adam Lester, he knows he doesn't have Adam. Who knows? You have Adam that every book in your house belongs to you? No. Who knows what's Adam or such a thing? The Meimar Amar, Kuliyama lo yodhi simanim uvakam dida. I assume, not everybody knows my simon muvak that I bend the page 32 in the book or whatever it is, whatever the simon is. V'anayavini simanim uvakam. I'll give that simanim, that specific simon dida. V'shaklinale. And therefore, it's not a question of the person who finds it prefers this, it's a question of the person who loses it. He's willing to give up his sefer, meaning what happens? Reuven lost the book. Reuven has no edim on the book. Reuven could come to whoever found it and say, give a simon. Now, Reuven knows that's a risk, because theoretically, maybe Shimon could show up and lie or guess what the simon is. Reuven's willing to take that risk so that he can collect his object, because otherwise he'll never be able to get it. So every person in the world who loses an object is willing to say such a svara, because otherwise he's never going to get his chefetz back. That's the tekama. Says my aloha, the sound we had earlier, if you find three shtaris together, if all three were written by the same loiva, then you assume they go to the loiva. If all were written by the malva, then they go to the malva. All were together, three from the same malva, they go to the malva. Now wait, You're telling me over here in the Gemara's Havamina, there's no simit. There's no din d'oraisa to return. It's all based on simit. A loiva would never agree that the shtar should be given back to the malva. The whole svar, you tell me why you give something back, is because the person who lost it agrees that this is a good process. It's definitely not a good process when we're talking about a check or a shtar. He's going to lose money. In a say case where he has nothing to lose by giving it because he lost the object already, Mimela, fine. But here, by giving it back to the malva, he's going to lose money. He's going to have to pay the shtars. He's never going to agree such a thing. Says the more, no. There's a question. Nichal loiva l'aduri l'malva? I'm going to know. Hasam svaruhu. Over there, it's not a question of simanim or not simanim. The reason you return it to the malva is because it makes no sense that it belongs to the leiva. Echad aleiva yishol shiaks aleiva the gabi leiva shchichi gabi leiva malva loy shchichi and therefore shmami na malva mi leiva nafam shloish shlofa mi echad yaks la malva the gabi malva shchichi gabi leiva loy shchichi. We had this far before. It's not a question of a simin. It's a question: why in the world would the leiva have three stars written by three different malvas? And why would the malva have three stars written from three different leivas by the same leiva? It must be that it belongs to each one, not because of a simin or these svaras that we're talking about. That's not the issue. One more point on top. We said, if you find a bunch of stars together, not the same person, not the same anything, but there's a simin on it, the way it's wrapped up or the way it's tied up, why would the leiva agree in this case? You tell me in the bottom case, it's because it's obvious. Fine. Over here, it's not obvious. It's just a simon. The simon is the way it's tied up. And the only reason you return something with a simon, derabanan, is because everybody agrees to do that. A leiva would never agree, theoretically, to give it back to the malva if he's going to lose money based on this deal. So back to the question, why would if you assume siman is derabanan, why would Chazal make such a takana? It doesn't make any sense in certain situations. And that seems to indicate to us that Simana must really be Daraisa. And the Torah says you correlate it. Why? We'll see you next time tomorrow.